are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It's 9:31, time for us to get into conversation with Pastor Clever Shaile as he speaks to us about standing tall. Now, for boys, we know that peer pressure can feel like I said, a constant tug of war between staying true to themselves and fitting in. Whether it's about joining the latest trend or doing something risky or going against their values in general, the struggle is real. But staying grounded in who you are is the ultimate act of strength. So today we want to unpack how to handle peer pressure without losing sight, without losing sight of what matters most. My pastor, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment. Pastor Shaile, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, my leader?
Doing very well, Pastor. How are you doing this morning? Hello, Pastor? Oh, seems like we might have an issue with the network there. Pastor Shaile, can you hear me?
Yes, I can get you now. Thank
you. Perfect, perfect. We can hear you as well. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor. And we're glad to have you on the show once again. Now, we're speaking about peer pressure and the way that it affects young boys and how they can stay true to themselves and, you know, in the middle of this desire to also fit in. So together, we're going to be unpacking how to handle peer pressure without of what is most important in a young man's life. So what would you say are some common types of peer pressure that boys face? And maybe you can also just point out how they can prepare to handle those.
All right. Thank you so much. Let me begin by saying this is a very interesting topic. And these are some of the real life situations that we find in many societies today. Mm-hmm. So you find that each one of us, let me say, beginning from the young people, even up to the old people, we are in some ways influenced. There's some kind of pressure that really comes to each one of us. And then we may say no or not. And now in boys, mainly in young boys, the common types of peer pressure that we have or that we find, number one, is the issue of drug abuse. The issues to do with this smoking, drinking alcohol, and the engaging in some illicit or dangerous activities.
Yeah.
There's the aspect of early sexual debut and all those things. Mm. So you find that these are some of the pressure that young boys receive, because at the end of it all, they want to be recognized to belonging to a certain group, mm-hmm. or a certain association. And so for them to be really recognized and to be registered, to be part and parcel of that group or association, they would want to take part in those activities which are done by those people.
Yeah.
And so you find that many of our young boys are in this web of peer pressure. Young boys should really understand and know for sure that pressure is there. For as long as they are alive, there is pressure.
Mm.
Now, the most important thing above all is to understand how to critically handle this pressure that we have.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that I can mention on how young boys can prepare themselves in terms of handling these pressures is, number one, to really be built in terms of they need to be psychologically prepared. Somebody who is not stable in psychology or their mental well-being, they will really fall for anything else. If one person cannot stand for something, that means they will fall for anything that comes along the way. So they need to have that stamina. They need to understand themselves even as they face these pressures. And they really also need to know what they are looking for. It's the matter of self-identity. You know, the problem that we find in most cases is that young people are in a dilemma. They are in a crisis identity. So the most important thing is if somebody wants to really be able to handle these critical issues, the issues to do with the pressure, peer pressure, they need to identify themselves, who they are, what really guides them, what are their principles and what's their foundation, what's their background, where are they standing, and then they need to develop an attitude of looking at the positives and the negatives. If the positives weigh more than the negatives, then those things are supposed to be followed, and if it's the other way around, then again they need to critically make a decision, because what young people do today will affect them tomorrow. Even Galatians is clear. Paul states, do not be mocked. Do not be deceived. Whatever you plant, whatever you sow today, it is that which you will reap tomorrow. Mm. So it's all about the principles and indeed finding themselves. Mm. Once they find themselves, they'll know what they'll stand for, even when the rest of the world does the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, powerful. Now, there's one thing that pops into my mind as you're speaking, Pastor. Is there anything inherently wrong with desiring to be a part of a group, desiring to belong? You know, sometimes I feel like sometimes that idea in general is seen as where the problem is, whereas I would lean towards, it's not necessarily the belonging to a group, but what kind of a group is that? But at the same time, how do I learn to stand on my own if I also want to be a part of a group? Can you just touch on that a little bit? Is there anything wrong with wanting to be a part of a group? And if not, how do you balance that with also standing as an individual?
Oh, great. Well, that's an important one. There is really nothing wrong in wanting to be a part of any group.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong. In fact, the truth of the matter is that every one of us belong to a certain group in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We have colleagues, we have friends, we have what we call as mates. So now what is most important to know is what type of an association is that? What type of a group are you joining? What factors influences one to join that group? And again, what activities are done in that group? Because there are what we call as a positive pressure, and there's negative pressure. Now, the positive pressure, it's the pressure that helps one build themselves, you know, where people really share ideas and sharpen one another. As we know, the Bible is clear. It states that iron sharpens what?
Iron.
Mm-hmm. And so if people who are positive minded meet, and then they sharpen one another, that's a very good pressure. But now, if you join a certain group where they will not help you to build yourself, rather they help you to actually destroy yourself through engagement in those activities, then that's really bad. Mm. So as we join groups, as we want to be registered to any group, as we want to be recognized to be part and parcel, we must be careful with what activities happen in that group, what kind of associate, what principles we share.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are in any group and you are not progressing in any way, then that means you are retrogressing. You are not growing. You are being broken. So we need the positive vibes which will build us, which will improve us, and which will make us better people. Not only people for the church, but better people even for our families, our community, and nation at large.
Mm.
And I think that's what I can say on that one.
Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful. Now, how can boys confidently say no without feeling isolated or judged?
All right. Let me say, my leader, if there is one thing that is really difficult in this world, is to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, young people think when they say no, then they're not normal, or maybe they'll be considered somehow. So you find that in most cases, the only answer which is well known by young people is a yes.
Mm.
You do this? Yes. Are you going to do this? Yes. Are you going to do that? Yes. Every time is a yes. Because we fear, you know, there's that fear in young people, a fear of rejection and the fear of the unknown. You're like, oh, if I say no, then I'll be considered to be maybe old fashioned.
Yeah,
if I don't partake in this activity, I'll be considered to be dull, maybe to be, you know, to be a village girl or a village boy, boring and all those things. Yeah. But, you know, boys and girls, or let me say boys, can confidently say no without, without feeling isolated or judged. But how? Mm. The issue is, like I stated earlier on, they need to know their principles and what they stand for.
Mm.
Any person who, like I said, any person who does not know where they go, they can go anywhere.
Mm.
We need to teach our young boys not to move aimlessly or not to be in any group just because it's a group of people who are breathing and walking. Uh-uh. We need to educate them to be people who have target, you know, in life. Every young man, every young boy must be a strategist. They need to be taught these principles. And they can still say no because, I mean, that's their principle.
Mm-hmm.
No one must judge them. No one must feel isolated because standing is right.
Mm.
For as long as it is right, every person must stand there. Even when 1,000 of people will say this, but for as long as that which you stand for is right, and it is the correct thing, it is the correct behavior, no one must feel isolated because they are in their right conscience. They know what they stand for. And that one will definitely help young boys, you know, when they are faced with these myriads of peer pressure
that really
challenge them.
Sure.
I think that's what I can say. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. Mm. Now, how does faith come into it now? What role does faith play in helping boys to make good decisions, especially under pressure?
All right. Just to read from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, mm-hmm. Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, instructing him, and I quote on verse 14, "But as for you," that's a direct speech, evocative speech, "but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." So the most important thing is that, you know, the upbringing matters. As, you know, as the children are growing up, it is also the role of parents to really, really guide their children in the fear of the Lord, so that even as they, the truth of the matter is that children will be exposed to pressure at any time.
Mm.
So we need to reach at that point where they are educated in that way, even when they meet, you know, when they meet with a lot of pressure, you know, peer pressure and all those things, they will still be able to stand upon that which they have learned from their childhood. Now, Paul says, "But as for you, continue what you learned and have become convinced of." So if somebody is ignorant about whatever, they can fall for anything.
Mm.
So the only thing, the only safest ground is having knowledge of what the world offers and how to say no. And how to be unique, how to be different, even when others look are the same. Because you know those from whom you have learned it, and these are now, you know, the parents.
Yeah.
And he continues by saying, "And how from infants you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So the role of faith is that, you know, faith shapes us. Faith forms a real man, a real person in us.
Mm-hmm.
No, faith is able to create in us a person who is unique very different from the rest of others. Even when faith is under pressure, faith will still remain faith. So faith helps, you know, faith will help boys to make right decisions, for because, you know, there is that true conviction. They have learned, they know the truth, and they know what they believe. They stand on the principles that they have learned, and that really shapes them. That keeps them in motion, even when they are facing a lot of challenges, a lot of pressure, you know, a lot of words, a lot of voices. We are living in a world full of voices. There's music, there's secular music, you know, boys are exposed to, let me say, the nudity, the nudes on social media and all those things. But when they are built in the, you know, spectrum of faith, in the oneness of faith, they will still be able to differentiate that this is wrong and this is right. This is good for my faith. This is wrong for my faith. They will be able to do that. So faith plays a critical role in challenging or in facing the challenges that come with peer pressure. So. May the boys, may we as parents, as leaders of the church and everyone else, our children to be, you know, convicted and to have the faith so that even when they are old enough, Solomon says, they will not depart from the way that which we have what? We have taught them.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. I love that. I was actually thinking about what you just said, the last statement that you made there about the involvement of the parents and the guardians and the older people, the mentors, those who are in the child's life, that a lot of what we're talking about here is really about what the young man can do for himself, what he needs to do for himself, which is, I think, a very important part of a young man's growth. But I think it's also very important that you've pointed out that we, as the parents, also have to be involved in some way in guiding a young person into making the right decisions. So I really appreciate that. Now, how can boys surround themselves with peers who encourage positive choices? Now, that this is now about picking the right group, like you mentioned earlier on, that it's all right to be a part of a group in itself is not a bad thing, but how exactly do they make the right choices about what kind of people to surround themselves with?
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. You know, Paul, again, in the book of Corinthians, writes to say, bad company corrupts good what? Morals. So now, so this is one of the critical areas in the life of a young boy. Surrounding, you know, with people who are of great benefit, who contribute to our growth and our well-being in this world is one of the critical thing that we need to possess and we need to teach young boys. But now, the issue is, how can boys surround themselves? Now, the question is how? The answer is by looking at the deeds of that person. Because, I mean, I'll just give a practical example. Before you join in any group, before you are enrolled in any association, the most important thing is knowing what they do. For instance, if you have a child who's supposed to go at a faith-based institution to be enrolled as a student, what will come in mind first is that what kind of doctrines or what kind of faith is there, so that even as I take my child, they will not be infiltrated with wrong doctrines, okay, prior to that which they have learned, or maybe they will not get lost, they will not be misguided. So the only safest way that boys can follow in terms of surrounding themselves with people who have with people who are good, who mean well to themselves, is knowing the characters of those people. Knowing the important thing is this. Even in physics, we have learned, you know, like poles, they do what? They repel. And like poles, they attract. So the issue is, as you choose friends, as you choose who to associate with, look at the qualities that you want, the qualities that you have, the principles that you have must also reflect in the person you want to be found with. If the person you want to be found with has wrong vibes, they have wrong principles, be rest assured that if you associate with them daily, you know, getting along and doing all the activities together, the probability or the percentage is high that either one of the two will get lost. And mostly we know the person who has good morals will be corrupt because of those other people that have bad morals. So boys can only learn to surround with other people, you know, people who have good influence, by knowing what people do and how they behave, how they speak, and how they do all those things. Because if they just join because there's the issue of joining, well, the end result will be they'll get lost as well. So that's what I can say on this one.
Very true. Now, in closing, Pastor, are there any biblical stories that you can share maybe that would inspire standing firm against peer pressure?
Oh, yeah. The first story that I may just cite is, Daniel chapter 1. This is a very famous story of these boys, Shadrach, yes. Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel.
Hey.
They are boys. They are taken in captivity, the Babylonian captivity. And there they are subjected to real pressure. It was going to be possible, and it was very possible for these boys to behave in any way they felt like behaving because they were in a foreign land.
Yeah.
They were going to do whatever they wanted according to how it pleased themselves. But now, look, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that they do not what? Defile themselves with the extra vagances, with the food that was being offered at the king's table, even when they were summoned to be, you know, to be fed by the cooks and all the people of that place.
Yeah.
But they just decided to be different, be unique. You see, this is a clear and an explicit example of what it means to stand by one's principles. Nothing really move us, and nothing should shake our faith. These boys had learned what it meant to be healthy in Babylon, in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. They had learned what it meant to respect God. They were not respecting, they were not afraid of their parents and anybody else.
Nope.
They were afraid of God. They really loved their creator. They loved their God. And so even amidst that pressure, they were able to do what? They were able to stand firm. And again, we can even give an example of Joseph, of Joseph in Potiphar's house. You know, if it was nowadays, you know, Joseph was going to find himself in a mess. He was going to sleep with Potiphar's wife. Maybe Madam Potiphar was going to be a sugar mommy to Joseph.
Yep.
This is the issue that we find. I mean, these are some of the issues that we find nowadays. Young boys have sugar mommies, young girls have sugar daddies, and it's more like it's normal.
Hey.
But now, even when Joseph was under pressure, he said, "How can I do such a treacherous thing before my creator?" He didn't say before my father or before my brothers. He said before my God. How can I do such a sinful, vile thing before my creator? So Joseph stood firm even amidst those circumstances. There are so many examples of people that we can give in the Bible who were not moved by pressure. One of them is, Mordecai in Medo-Persia. Mordecai is there, and then they are told to honor Haman by worshiping and doing what? Mordecai stood firm and said, "I can't do this because we don't do it. Even amidst the pressure, I can't do it. No matter what happens, I have principles upon which I stand, and I have a true conviction within me that I believe in this God who does not change. Even amidst pressure, God does not change. Mm-hmm. So my encouragement to young boys, if at all there are others who are listening to us this morning, is that let us not be moved by pressure. Ellen White says in conclusion, the world is looking for men and women who cannot be bought nor sold. Men who will be royal to duty, no, as a need is to the poor. Men who will stand firm, even when the heavens fall, they will still be able to stand. That's the word that I have in my conclusion, that may we as young boys be able to stand firm amidst the pressure. Yeah. Let us know who we are, what we want, and who we are in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful way to wrap up our conversation there. Thank you so much, Pastor Shaile, for coming through and for sharing some words of wisdom for the young men out there, as well as for those who are raising young men. And I do pray that we will see in the coming generations, we can see some more boys like the three Hebrew boys and the Daniels and the Josephs. I hope that we can see a repeat of that in the generations to come. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.